So you can sit yourself comfortably. Take a few deep breaths. Let the body settle into the stillness of the posture. Relax into it. And let the mind settle into the breath. The deep breaths calming it down. We look into a few points how we interact with life in our small meditation. When I take myself as the individual being, then it's like one small wave in the middle of the huge ocean. Endless other waves, endless other conditions, situations. And no matter what is achieved, it's a losing battle, as everything will eventually be wiped away. The wave itself will dissolve before too long. But then if I look at things a little differently, just a little bit of Vedantic insight makes it much easier and smoother to go through all the ups and downs. When I came into this world, I came alone, without anything. When the time comes I have to leave, I leave without anything. If I check in and observe myself here and there, I'm still that same awareness that I was throughout. When I started, any time in the middle, and also at the end of my life, same awareful being. Everything else is in flux. Everything else will come at some point and will go at some point. So the more I lean on the things of the world, try to hold on to the things of the world, then I will be caught up in the storms, the ups and downs. Because that's their nature. Because I've limited control over things of the world. The more I get to know myself as the awareful being, that's where I find the sameness, the equilibrium, as Lord Krishna says, samatvam yoga uchyate. Yoga is said to be sameness, balance. The water of the ocean being quiet is a kind of balance, but it's just a conditional one, temporary. Like life situation now might be okay, balanced, but at any moment that could change. So the external situations are not dependable. But I, the awareful being, is the only thing dependable and constant, unaffected by all these changes. Just knowing myself, even a little bit, as the conscious being, helps to go through all the different twists and turns in life much easier. And this is done through viveka, discrimination. Who am I, the awareful being? And what am I not? Everything else. So, we've been looking into the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, or We finished looking to the Tivra Jiva Srishta Dvaitam and started looking to the Manda Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, right? The more severe and more moderate duality created by my own mind, like this, in this way. This is what we've been looking into. And one thing is, once we get to have some introduction to Vedanta like this, like all of us have had now, then really it's something that, after a little while, you see it's something really worth pursuing. Because so many other things can be done and should be done. Also, take care of things in our life. It's not that this is the only thing you'll do, but this is something that gives a lot more clarity, and that, how can we say, other things can help us to solve problems in life. And they do. Vedanta won't solve certain problems in life. You know, it won't put the food on the table, and won't put the, won't take care of your illness necessary, things like this. So yes, we have to go to a doctor, we have to, you know, do some work, have something so we can pay to have a roof over our head, do some service to society like this. This it directly won't take care of these things. But the thing is, the issues of the world, our own issues as individual, are something, it's an insolvable problem within it. Just like in the dream, you never totally solve everything in the dream. That's a very interesting thing. That's why we wake up. Imagine you'd be in the dream, you can't get out of it. That's kind of like, that's where we are now, actually, but that's, we are in a dream and we're not managing to get out of it, to notice that. So, but in the dream world, we never totally manage to solve. And if we do, oh, very nice, for some time, and then you have deep sleep. But then the next episode comes, just like in a series, because the series are based on our life, they make a TV series, and it reaches a certain point, now everything's okay. But then they have want a new season because they want you to join. So after everything's okay, they'll have some little thing, some little thorn in the side there, so that then they can start the next season, continue some other problem like that. my teacher here, he gives the example that somebody makes a film, and they want to make a very nice film for everybody, so everybody really enjoys, especially in, you know, chaos, times of chaos. So the film, there's a family, and there's, you know, the mother, father, and the three kids, and they're all very healthy, and the kids are going to school, and they do very well, and they graduate, they get good jobs, and they're all very happy, and, you know, a few more things like this, and then the story ends. And so when his colleagues see it, in order to see how it should be edited and put out, they all say, don't continue pour any more money into this. It's going to be a flop. Nobody's going to want to see that movie. Why? That's what everybody's looking for. Everything is perfect and nice. Yeah, everybody's looking for, everybody wants the drama, and they're not going to go for it. So we, because people want, that's just okay. But then what? Some challenge. So life will always have those things. And what happens is, solving the problem in life will solve, but it will solve one problem and open the door to five others. Like this, it never ends. So it's not that we don't have to deal with it, we don't have a choice, right? You have to deal with it. But the more insight from Vedanta, the less it will, you know, it will have effect on me. Just like if you were in a dream and you knew it was a dream, then yeah, you still have to do something there, but, you know, it doesn't have as much an effect. And from understanding, not from, you know, callousness or not caring or this. One monk that I know is very, very jolly, very joking fellow. He's constantly traveling around India and the West, always going, giving programs and this. So in his website, it's saying this is his time pass. You know, in the West we say past time, that's the other side of the world. So they say time pass. It's time pass, like that. Not big thing, he's going and teaching, enlightening people, because otherwise that also becomes a big burden, right? It's time pass, he says. That's it. And he acts like it's all his time pass, because he knows the time will pass, and okay, let it pass, you know, you do whatever constructive you can, and just, you know, and remain above it all. So this Vedanta really gives the insight to that, so it's so important, because whatever else I have to deal with in my life, my duties, whatever, okay, I can do. But this really helps to solve the insolvable problem, because the problem can't be solved within this domain. Just like the dream problem will never be solved in the dream, the whole group, you know, the whole group of problems in the dream, not an individual, but the whole situation solves by waking up. Same with here. It's the same thing. So this is what's so important about this. And then, of course, in this chapter, it gives a very nice insight in, okay, where is the, you know, where are we being caught? Because we're trapped. Where are we being trapped? Because the thing is, yes, we do say the whole creation is mithya, yes, but a portion of it doesn't really matter. It's not binding. That's why don't worry about that part, he said. That's why I said, don't worry about closing off the world, you know, destroying the world by making the mind empty and blank and just keep it there like Raja Yoga. Yes, learn to have the mind more quiet, not as disturbed from understanding perspective. But the thing is, you can't totally get rid of it. It's not a problem, right? The fact that, you know, it's hotter, it's colder, that's not a problem. My reaction to it is the problem. So he's talking about, so it really helps to show where the problems are, where the more serious, where the potential ones are, so nicely, like this in this chapter. So this is a really wonderful gift of this one, which is quite unique, I think, in some ways in what how Vedanta is taught. So in any case, with all this, we'll go back to what we've been doing, and we got to verse 61 last time. Let's go over that one again, where he's talking again about manorajya, or vikshepa, the more mild problem, not the more severe one. More severe, what manifests now. Because if I have a disease now, because it's already manifest in my system, it's not I'm pre-diabetic, my blood sugar is a little high, my blood pressure is a little high, so I should do something about it, but already there's a heart problem. Already there's diabetes, something like this. That's the more severe one. So the emotional issues that are really catching me now, those are the more severe ones have to be dealt with first, he said, the more these ones. Now he's talking about all the potential ones, because the potential ones are so much from the tossing of the mind here, there, thinking this, thinking that, daydreaming, that's what he was discussing. So here he's saying, Shakyam jetum manorajyam nirvikalpa samadhitaha susampadah kramatsopi savikalpa samadhina. It is possible to handle the manorajyam by natural absorption in Vedantic thoughts. That's what he calls the nirvikalpa samadhi. This can be easily accomplished gradually by the practice of deliberate training of the mind, like this, which he's calling the savikalpa samadhi, like this, by training the mind. Because eventually, to completely get rid of the confusion and the distractions is, what am I thinking all the time, like this? Where is my mind pointing at? Because that's my real interest. Because the ideas that are bubbling on my mind because of my interests. Because if something is presented to the mind, it's not interested in it, then it's not going to keep running after that. It'll come, it'll go, and it'll focus back in what it's used to doing. Because, you know, like somebody that we met that talked and talked for quite a while about South American country where he grew up. So many things, political things, history, this, 20 minutes, whatever. I forgot most of it because, you know, there was some friend's birthday party for one of the first times they can see people after COVID and this. Okay, so you go and this, sit outside. The person, some friend talked and talked on. It's very nice. Now it's gone. Yeah. So I can probably try to remember a few things from it, but it doesn't really make a difference. So that thing. But something else, somebody, maybe because I grew up in Israel, maybe they'll talk about Middle East situation, and I'll read or hear about some things there, then the mind will start getting more involved, want to read more, because of the identification, like this. And then it'll grab me in this, because that's because my mind might have the interest in it. So in this way, so when the mind is more focused in the Vedantic things, meaning that's nirvikalpa, because people talk nirvikalpa samadhi, formless in this. Well, meaning the only way you can really have formless is I'm also that formless one. Otherwise, there's me, I'm focusing on some formless idea. So there's me, and there's that formless can't be a formless thing, because again, it's some idea in the mind. But all the Vedantic pointers are pointing at, you know, I'm the witnessing awareness, and you know, there's just the one presence. So why? It transcends all the forms, all the limited ideas. More interest is, so when the attention's totally in this, where are the other things to grab me? It's, you know, become more porous like liquid, like air, like space, okay, what's gonna stick to you with space? When I know I'm the consciousness, what will stick to it? When you're aware in the dream, it's a dream, what's gonna stick to you? It's just a dream, it'll go. So in this way. So said, okay, so how do we get rid of these? Of course, if I can just be absorbed Vedantic thoughts, meaning I have to have a great interest in it, obviously. Whatever I don't have a great interest in, my attention is not going to just be in that in this way, because it has other things it wants to do. So it has to be fairly high on my interest list for a lot of my attention to go to it, like this. Okay, so like this. So if I can't do that, I need something that's easier to focus in order to slowly, you know, to center my attention in this way. And that's again from the perspective in spiritual practice. Usually that's why Yoga Vedanta, talk about Vedanta at first, most people, it doesn't make so much sense. But some yoga, because, okay, gather the attention, whether through asana pranayama, through worship, through different things like this, you gather the attention. And then worship, meditation, okay, some idea, some form. And then slowly, as the attention gets more steady, less and less you need the form, less and less to depend on it. So that's how you can see it from the with form, with that, you know, with the form slowly too, you know, you don't need any form or any ideas to hold on to like this, because the ideas are stepping stones. Ideas are pointers like this, you can say. So this is how it's done in this way. So one thing that very much is suggested in this is a very good, as a way to slowly prepare the mind, one form of nididhyasanam that Swami Paramarthanandaji points out, which I find very, very helpful, is what he calls the alert living. Just being very aware what I'm doing. And then what I'm doing then, more subtle than that, is what I am saying, right? How I speak, what I speak. And then more than that is what I'm thinking, because word, deed is grosser, easier to pay attention to. Word a little bit subtler, and then thought even more subtle. And just if I'm aware, even if I don't have, you know, still I'm doing whatever I'm doing, that I'm still getting caught up in things, just by being aware, already it changes a lot of things, because I'm more present. And then I notice more the different habits, different things that pull me here and there. Even though I'm still caught up in them and I get lost in them, I forget, then I come back. Just by being aware, then slowly I see these things. So this is a very good preparation. Just by doing, even more than a preparation, because what I find doing it, you become more and more naturally learning how to be sakshi, how to see yourself as the witnessing awareness instead of the, you know, the observer instead of the contestant or the victim or whatever you want to call, or the one who's, you know, having to take all the burden of life. So already it creates some buffer like this, and then also easier just to see what's happening, what's going on. And then what happens is, we notice that so much of what I do and think and say is reactive, right? Not an actor, but a reactor, right? Like this one. So a reactor is not something that I do consciously, but it's like a reflex. And the more I'm aware, the more I see like this. So then it's my samskaras working, just because they do like that, not, I don't really, you know, carefully present as I'm there. So easier to see this. You know, some of the things, okay, it doesn't matter too much, but some things I see that they're problematic or it's catching me, then at least I see that's happening. And then Once I see these weaker points, and the more I'm aware of them, the easier to find remedies to deal with them like this. So this is a very nice way to do it. And by being alert also, that's one thing, just being aware, alert. Other thing, by being alert, I can consciously do things in a certain way. I can purposefully act in a certain way. I try to do, and I try to be more, you know, sakshi, or I try to, you know, I try to take some of what I've learned and say, okay, I'm going to try to imbibe that easier when I'm consciously doing like this. So this also, what happens is, like in the meditation today, my life usually is based on I am this point, I'm trying to get to that point, trying to get this thing done or trying to get rid of this thing. This is constantly the karta bhokta cycle, doer enjoyer cycle, going on and on like this. Here, instead you say, okay, yes, you take that as the, instead of as the main thing, take it as the minor things, the supporting thing. The main thing is it's an opportunity for me to learn and grow so I can imbibe these Vedantic teachings, a training ground for it. If I see it as a training ground, then it's wonderful opportunity for me to learn these things. Every day, great opportunity for me to learn and grow like this. Then it's a very different view of things. When I was in the Shivananda Yoga Center in New York, then we had this accountant, very, very sweet man. He died from cancer. And I remember him saying, you know, he doesn't know if there's a heaven, but if there is, he sure hopes he's going there. Very sweet idea. So one thing I remember, in centers like that, staff come and go. Some are there for many years like I was, and some is there for a few months or a year or something like this. So what happened is, whenever you have things, you give to the accountant. That's why I have an accountant, because some of them, they're not as much in order as you need them, and they help you to get in order. So at one point when I gave him the, here are papers for this year, whatever, I said, and you know, now somebody new staff member is doing the accounting, so, you know, it won't be as, it might be a little more orderly than before. So he said, oh, we're all here just to learn, like this, something in this way, instead of, oh, good, it'll be easier for me, or, okay, good, finally, you guys are getting things in order, because, you know, must have been a little messy, and, you know, he probably was doing it, I don't think he charges too much, and was doing a service to a nonprofit like this. So, very nice way to look at, because we're here to learn, that's what we can do. All the other things, okay, there are a few side things, but if I pay more attention to those, then it's very different than my actions. The other things are, you know, I get caught up in them so much more, and the passing things. One very helpful point with this, is a very, very helpful point Vijayji has told us, said like this, never take all the, you know, all the things you're doing, anything you're acting or, you know, towards or anything, never take something as an end. It's just as a means. Because if getting the car is an end, getting the job is an end, this, then you want to become bhokta, you want to, you know, enjoy it really. You get much more identified, caught up in it. When you see it as a means, then it's very different. Okay, yes, I need a job to do some service, to support family. I can also, you know, then donate to society to some good things, develop more understanding of the field like this. Then it's a means like this. When it's seen as an end, then I get much more caught up in it. Because the end, that end will end very soon. And then what? Like this. So this is very, very helpful. So again, if I'm living alert, if I'm being aware, I notice that I'm really expecting this. I'm really, you know, thinking of it in that way. And then I see, well, I've thought about so many other things in this way, what happened then? You know, I was happy for a little while, and then afterwards became like a burden, or became, now I wanted to find something better or different or this, where does it end? So it helps to, as food for thought, food for introspection, when we look at life in this way. So this is some of the things about like this, in the alert living, and then you see the Vedantic unfriendly habits that I have, thoughts that I have, and then easier to deal with them like that, in this way, slowly, slowly. So this is some nice points about what he points out in the text about this. One of the main things that causes also the mind to be running here and there after so many things, not just content to be present, right? We just want to be content. One of the main reasons for this is that I don't just accept my prarabdha, right? Prarabdha karma, because the karma for this life, because what happens this life started, put in motion, so it'll play out. Once something has started to play out, it'll eventually play out. You can't stop it. It's kind of like the example that's given as a nice illustration for the prarabdha that many of you probably heard. If you have an archer, then has a whole batch of arrows in the quiver, that's a sanchita karma from all the lives I have, they've been accumulated there. Then I have right now one that's in my hand right now that I'm going to shoot. So that one's already taken out of the quiver, and then it'll play out. So once you shoot, it's playing out. You can't stop it. Once you shoot it, you can't now stop it from going anywhere. It'll go and it'll do what it does. So this life has already been launched. It'll go through. You can't, you know, maybe can make some differences here and there, but the main thing is going to play out. Like, for instance, you know, can I change where I was born? You know, certain inherent qualities, like, you know, some things you can change, but most things are set like this. You know, could you have made it? I won't, when you're born here, no, I do not want to go through the COVID pandemic. You couldn't help that. I don't want to go through a Trump presidency. You couldn't help that. So certain things are prarabdha. You have to go through it. So what happens is, as if we just, okay, it's put in motion, it'll play out, and that's it. You know, I do what I can to learn and grow, to do some service, and that's it, and then leave it at that. Because if I have more acceptance of this, much easier to go through, and then, you know, then I can do whatever I need to do, then sit quietly, meditate, forget it, because that's good enough, that's great. Literally, that's what monks are supposed to do. They've renounced. So a monk is supposed to, you know, the prarabdha isn't theirs. They renounce it. It's not theirs. The individual's not there. Not their prarabdha. Let it play out. The body will go through what it goes through. Eventually it'll fall. Nothing to do with them. Like this. That's the vision of the sannyasi. It's so, you know, to some extent, is when we study Vedanta, this is something slowly we can look at too. Because yes, it'll go out, it'll go through its thing. Is it mine? The more I take it as mine, then the more I'll struggle with it. The more, yes, it's put into play, it's the God's play, let it be. Right? Krishna Leela, let him do his Leela. And I'll enjoy as a spectator. And so the more I just accept, yes, this is what's going to go through. And I also think of it, I've come here for a short time. I came without anything, anybody, I'll leave like that too. Anything in the middle will just be some, you know, some show like this. It'll be edutainment. It'll be educational and some entertainment. And then and we'll go through like this. So this is how this, you know, we can help to support, to unfold this vision like this. This is a nice way also that is put to help to unfold this vision. Because this vision is there within us, it's just as covered up by my other ideas, the jiva srishti, my ideas. The more I, you know, learn to put those in place, then the more it'll just, the clear vision just can unfold. So this is what he's pointing out here. So in this way, just accepting situation makes, you know, them much easier to go through. Like I've mentioned before, Swami Vishnanevanandaji, when he had his stroke, and he was, you know, he was a very powerful person. How, when he became less active, his executive board, seven different sannyasis, sannyasinis, monks, nuns that had been there for years with him, couldn't do even half of what he used to do. So much energy, and so powerful in this, and so much, you know, phenomenal. But then, okay, now he had a stroke. He couldn't speak clearly, couldn't walk. He said, Master Swami Shivanandaji took away his speech, took away his legs. That's it. Not, no, poor me, poor this, why like this? No, that's how it is. Finished. So in this way, yes, things will come and, you know, it'll play out. So that's just the story. I'm caught up in the story then, you know, how much it's going to throw me here and there. So there's something to look at again and again, because Vedanta is inquiry, to keep looking to clarify my vision. It's not that, you know, I hear one, you know, a gunpowder student, meaning somebody totally prepared, will hear, understand, and finish. Vairagya built up, clear that everything will come and go, clear I'm just the witnessing awareness, this is just, you know, mithya, finish, no problem. But since for most of us then, yes, some preparation needed, so we have to reflect on these things, and slowly it helps to, you know, to what happens, it helps to loosen the hold of these things on us. And loosens up, shake, you know, slowly shakes this dust off like this. So, let us continue after this. So this one, both have to do, you know, some preparation, be aware, alert, slowly learn to change habits, not just change habits because it's good, but really see how they're entrapping me, see how I'm caught up in them, see how I can find antidotes and do differently, slowly, slowly, in order to make it easier for me to see this, to this vision like this. One more point I'll give about this, then we say, okay, how do I change some of the things? One of the ways to, when I find, okay, there's a certain way that I'm reacting to something very much. It's a habit, it's already ingrained in me. And I do it because, you know, I get angry, upset, and I can't help it because that's just how I'm used to doing. So one method for dealing with this then, very good method, it's Rajayoga method, is called Pratipaksha Bhavana. Pratipaksha Bhavana, thinking on the other side. Pratipaksha Bhavana, very wonderful exercise. That I'm used to thinking something one way, so I consciously think of it differently, like this, just consciously. And what happens is when you do that, then when you think of something a little bit, it doesn't have so much of an impression. But if you think of something regularly, that impression gets stronger and stronger. How did my strong idea of something come up? Because of repeated thinking and thinking of it that way. Right? Like last week, Dhyayato Visharam Pumsa Sangasteshu Pajayate, from Gita that we had last time. You start dwelling on something, the attachment comes, from that desire comes, then unfulfilled desire brings anger, etc. We discussed. So, same way, a positive idea I put in my mind, I put that, I start dwelling on that, slowly that becomes habit in my mind. Like this, the thought culture, Swami Shivananda calls it. So then if I think of something and I slowly change how I look at it, by consciously doing it, consciously thinking like this, you know, it's like weightlifting, you put effort in, slowly, slowly, that idea becomes more and more strong. The stronger that one, the other way you think of it becomes weaker. And then it becomes more and more so. So, and the better you get at it, you can, you know, if you take, as I suggested last time, you take something small, not a huge thing, small thing that you get caught up in disturbs of this, some habit like this, and you start acting differently, thinking differently on it, you prove to yourself that you have the power to do that, to change this one, not to be caught in that same thing again. And then you see how slowly, slowly you build a different habit. You can do that, then you can find you can do it in other things. And then, of course, at the end, the whole thing, you know, the whole thing, I can throw away this whole individual and just be the conscious, see that I'm the conscious awareness. But these small ones are good preparations. Like this, and also clear the mind so it's easier to do it in this way. So in this way, slowly, by thinking differently of something consciously, regularly, at first, even if you don't believe that, just by thinking slowly, if you keep thinking of something, slowly has more real estate in the mind. It slowly becomes more, you know, seems more tangible, practical like this, and really works, really wonderful exercise. So I very much recommend you. This is one of the very nice ways to tackle things like this. And, you know, if you do for some time, if even if an issue you have, something I get caught up in isn't totally clear, at least you see it's not grabbing me as easily, as powerfully. So you say, yes, I could do this much, I can do even more, like that. So let's continue here, verse 62. Buddhatattvena dhidosha shunyena ikantavasina dirgham pravanamucharya manorajam vijiyate. One who has a clear understanding of the essence of Vedanta, who has handled the severe disturbances of the mind, and who remains in a secluded place, having chanted a long omkara, the long sound of om, should master manorajyam. So saying, one who has understood buddhatattvena, by one who has understanding, who has done shravana mananam, who has understanding what is the vision of Vedanta. Like this, okay, one has already has a clear vision what he, she is after here. Then, dhidhosha shunya, shunyena, and also has shaved off the severe issues in the mind, the severe ones. Because what happens, just to sit long, quiet meditation, this is more difficult if they're very strong things grabbing me, it can be more difficult. So I need to put effort into taking care of some of the other issues, makes it easier. Not that we shouldn't meditate at all, but it makes it easier. Ekantavasina, that lives seclusion alone. And seclusion alone doesn't necessarily mean, it can be just living in a quiet place without too many people around, too busy with things. But it also is an attitude, because you can go be in seclusion and bring the whole world in your mind, and nowadays in your phone as well, an extension of the mind. We have our sixth sense now, Alexa sense or or Google sense. And then, but my attitude in that, yes, I'm alone, right? So if I go, somebody's in the cave, and they go and the whole world will bring their mind. Somebody's living in the city, but then they go every day, take some time, sit quietly in this, and they're alone. There's no world for them. I'm seclusion. So it's a mindset also. Of course, having some time to be quiet and the way things, very helpful, very healthy for the mind, very helpful for introspection. But it doesn't mean, but it also is, we should also understand this part of it as well. Dirgam pranavam ucharya, having chanted om like this very long, manorajam vijiyate, let, you know, then work on controlling, you know, controlling the wandering mind. Just one example of many, because what happens is, if you go to Rajayoga Sutras about controlling the mind, there the Rishi gives different points about, different ways to do it. You can chant om, you can focus this, different things. You can focus on breath. Patanjali Maharshi afterwards says, or whatever is, you know, suitable for your mind, what your mind likes, meaning there are many different ways. So in this way, it's so many different ways you do in order to learn slowly how to have the mind not tossing as much, like this. And of course, the more I'm doing my shravana mananam, easier to have that quiet time be introspection, nididhyasana, instead of just sitting and, okay, enjoying the quiet state of the mind, and then when the mind gets noisy again, it's more disturbing. But then naturally the mind will gravitate towards the vichara, towards the introspection, towards seeing I'm the witnessing awareness and not just enjoying the silent state like this. So this is natural to go towards that when you quiet more like this. So one very nice method, because chant long om just a few times, huge difference, easy to meditate. Years ago, I read from Swami Shivananda Maharaj, he said, if your mind is disturbed, you go sit quietly, chant om 50 times. If you do that, you follow those instructions, your mind will not be disturbed no matter what it was after you chant sit quietly and chant 50 times. It cannot be, because it was given one type of food, now you gave it a different kind of food, soap that washed it out like this. So in this way, so one way. Now one important thing then is this. This is a very nice example that's given. If you're hungry, right? You haven't eaten all day. It's evening, you haven't eaten, you're very hungry. Now, so you come home, your spouse says, oh, you're very hungry. Yes, you worked so hard, you didn't have time to eat. Okay, I'll get something to eat. Should I give it to you on our special china, or should I just put it on the, you know, regular plates or paper plates? Or whatever you want. So which one? Okay, on the regular plates. Oh, very good. Should I reheat it in the oven, or should I cook the fresh thing like this with this pan or this pan? Right? Do you want to use these glasses or these? Do you want to sit at the table, or do you want to sit, you know, in the lounge, or you want to sit out on the porch? All these things, where you eat, with what utensils, with what plate, they're secondary. The important thing, the food is the important thing for taking away the hunger. These are secondary, they're needed. You want to drink water, right? So I need something to hold the water in whatever it's going to be I need, because, you know, otherwise how am I going to drink it? So you need to hold the food in something. But those are secondary. So how the mind was prepared through this Rajayoga practice, through that one, this mantra, this one, asana pranayama, or walking meditation, or through puja and devotion, you know, whatever suits this, do some regularly, learn how to have the mind more present, calm, so then easier to reflect on these things like that. So that's where it, you know, if you have a systematic way, go through Rajayoga systematic way, great. Didn't in this, that's not the important thing. So the important thing, yes, learn to have them some practices, make the mind more aware present, then it's easier for you to do nididhyasana, easier to reflect on, you know, we say, who am I? People say, I'll reflect on who am I, but without, you know, the mind, first of all, the mind being more quiet, not as disturbed, very difficult to do, number one, and without it for sharavana manana, sharavana, some sharavana this, it's not going to make sense, who am I, you know. So of course, so how the techniques used for quieting, making present this, that's, you know, like the plates, like the table, this needed, but which way in this is not the essential thing. For certain practices, you know, somebody does pujas for certain things. Yes, for rituals for certain things, then yes, for that, it has to be done in a very specific way. It does make a difference. And it won't have the same result without. But for learning to have be more present, mind more quiet, for citta shuddhi, for learning to make the mind more pure, then it doesn't matter. Then it's, yeah, of course, you know, you go to meditate, go to shower, to puja, be clean before. Yeah, these things are helpful. This, but the, and I should do, but all of the little details, the ritual, this, they're not as essential in this way, because that's, it's for, not for a, the, getting this specific result out of, but for learning to, you know, to prepare the mind for the introspection like this. So this is one of the important things here in this way. Because in Nididhyasanam, the Vedantic meditation, it's not for the physical posture, but what the mind is dwelling on, what the mind is focusing on. This is the important thing. Because look, let's say as we get into Vedanta, if we chant Om, if you just use it as a sound to be present, it's a very soothing sound. But then you're staying at the mental level because you're enjoying the quietness of the mind. And then the mind will be noisy again. Slowly you get a little better at it, that's fine. But if Vedanta, then you're going to say, okay, I'm there, the mind is more quiet, I'm still here. Hey, the thoughts aren't there, now some thoughts come back. Oh, the thoughts are coming, I'm still aware, and some thoughts are there. I'm the same awareness as when the mind was quiet. Then the mind gets noisier and I get dragged away. Okay, chant Om again. Hey, I'm back here. When the mind was noisy, it was the same one. So the mind comes and goes, but eyes, awareness, I'm there regardless whether the mind is noisy, whether not, like this, slowly builds up. And then, if you learn about Om, the Vedantic meditations on Om, oh, as you chant Om, you think about, you focus in that thing, you know. We'll get into it at some point. It's the avastatra viveka is in the Om itself. The avastatra, the waking, dreaming, deep sleep. The seeing that I'm the same awareness through them. So it gives more food what to focus on in this way. And of course, if I'm just the awareful being, then I just abide as awareful being, no problem. The others are pointers. So in this way, this is the difference between if we do the meditation as Raja Yoga, as Upasana, but the Raja Yoga type of meditation is very, very good preparation. This really helps to take us in that direction in this way. So let's see what else he has for us here. Jite tasmin vritti shunyam manasishtanti mukavat etat padam vasishtena ramaya bahudheritam. After conquering the tossing of the mind, it remains silent like a dumb person. This goal has been explained in various ways to Lord Rama by sage Vasishtha. When he says this, just like when he says, Lord Krishna says, he means in the Gita. So when he says, Rama was told by Vasishtha, means in Yoga Vasishtha. Yoga Vasishtha come to Uttarkashi, Swami Premananji, every day is giving talks on it, every day. It's in Hindi. The more foreigners in there, the more it'll go into English. The more Indians there, more into Hindi, and back and forth. If I'm the only foreigner, I'll just speak in the Hindi, say, okay, you have to ask if you didn't understand. You have to understand by now. I'm not a good student. I just half understand the Hindi when he says. It depends on the topic in this. So he loves the Yoga Vasishtha there. But in any case, so this is a beautiful Vedantic text. It can be just reading it. Some people very much like it, but it's so huge and so voluminous and whole mixture of Yoga Vedanta mixed together. So it's quite a text. So in any case, Jite Tasmin, is that where we were? Da-da-da-da. Yes. Jite Tasmin, and one who has conquered the mind, who the mind has been quieted down, when this has happened, vritishunyam, when the mind has become no mind, you can say, it doesn't get in your way anymore. Manastishtati mukavat, then the mind becomes like somebody who can't speak, like a dumb person. Etat padam vasishtena, this state has been talked about by Vasishtha Ramaya, to Rama. Ramaya is for Rama. Dative case. That's why Om Namah Shivaya, citation to Shiva. It's dative. Om Namo Narayanaya, like this. So this is, when you hear that, you know in mantras it's dative. There are other ways to say dative, but this is one of the ways. Like you say Om Durgayai Namaha, now it's different. But we know like this, Ramaya, you'll know many of the mantras like this. Bahudha Iritam, in many ways it was told. So he did. Lord Rama was very disturbed because he probably as a teenager growing up, and you know, became adolescent, became teenager this, 17, 18, whatever, just said, okay, what's this all life for? You know, I have all, like the Buddha, I have all the pleasures in the palace, I have this, then, you know, what am I supposed to do? And so because he was dejected like this, his father, King Dasharatha, invited their guru, the sage Vasishtha, to please come and talk to him. So in front of the whole court, the whole discussion going on, Rama asking questions, Vasishtha telling story, huge voluminous work, Yoga Vasishtha, which teaches on Vairagya, on concentration, on Vedanta like this. It's not, in many other texts are much more, Prakaran texts first of all, smaller and much more methodical. It's not very methodical where it's all over, but quite an amazing text like this. So if you really go through in detail, you'll have Vairagya for sure after you read that, you know, Viveka Vairagya, if you really go through the whole thing, quite an extensive thing like this. So in this way. So what happens then is, yes, we say about the quiet mind, right? Now there's a very important thing about this with the quiet mind. Why is the mind quiet? This is a very important thing. If the mind is quiet due to just a state of mind, due to technique for controlling the mind, it can be, first of all, conditional. Conditional, somebody gave me a wonderful gift. Oh, I'm so happy, right? like this. Something that happens right there and then. I had the most wonderful meal. Oh, my favorite happened so long, so I feel so good. Like this, that's a very shallow conditional thing that will be there, you know, that is not going to last for very long. If it's due to some technique, still it's conditional, but just with a little bit more control. But that's still a condition of the mind. So that one too is not going to resolve everything. You know, Swami Dayananji, in order to drill in this point, he used to joke about, he would say, okay, if somebody just learns to quiet the mind through techniques, they'll remain the same ignorant person they were, the same ignorant person with a noisy mind as an ignorant person with a quiet mind. That's it, to drill it in like this. So the thing is, it has its value, but it doesn't solve everything because it's a state of mind. And am I a state or not? I'm there regardless of the states, like this. So that's, again, conditional. If it's through jnanam, through understanding, through viveka, I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not the conditions, right? I'm the awareful being, then the mind will be much more quiet and the mind will not disturb me as much. Because, you know, because I'm not feeding it, I'm not as caught up and won't be as reactive as we said before. Then that's a different state. So that's really what is the more important one. Now, it doesn't mean, again, preparatory things, asanas, raja yoga, these things, very good for preparing because the mind is too chaotic. We won't be able to do any viveka, any discrimination, any introspection. Yeah, so it's good. But then, slowly, one has to learn how to do look at the viveka like this, because that one can, through understanding, one, jnana, or through understanding, one can, you know, can free oneself from this stuff. Jnana sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. This is in Gita, that they have always in the logos, Swami Dayananji's ashrams. There's nothing as purifying as knowledge, as understanding. Because that's it. If I understand I'm not the mind, how's it going to disturb me? Then, yes, it won't be as noisy anyway. So in this way, so that's where. So Sage Vasishtha told Lord Rama in many ways. And of course, like in Gita, from dejection to clarity, same thing with Lord Rama, like this, through discussion with Vasishtha. Lord Rama had a lot more patience than Arjuna. Arjuna, 700 verses, 18 chapters done. Yoga Vasishtha, volumes and volumes and volumes. And then, but the same purport in understanding this yoga and Vedanta, how helps so in this way too. So to really, it's important to understand this difference between the two, because the thing is, one is preparatory important, but the other one is what really will help to solve, to dissolve the problems. One is, so in this case, so that's the difference. And we say then that, you know, that then the quiet mind, due to, you know, the Vedanta inquired, that due to that understanding is what gives liberation, because then you know I'm not the mind, you know I'm not this, you can know you're the awareness. Just by quieting the mind doesn't make you know you're the awareness. What point or what's showing it to you? Nothing is showing it to you. So that's why Vedanta, we say it's like this. So this is, Vasishtha told Rama in many ways. When we get together again, we'll see how he told him, what the different ways he told him, because we'll run out of time today. So we'll do that next time. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So as mentioned last time, next 2 weeks there won't be class because I'm going to go to Swami Dayananda's ashram in Pennsylvania. Swami Tattvedananda there is giving some talks in this, so I'll be there for that. So the next class will be in 3 weeks from today. So during this time then, I'll give you some homework that I very much suggest, some suggestion for this. I'll also send an email. But two things. The first one, what we talked the first main section of the class about alert living. Really try to put this into practice. Really try, just observe, be aware of what I'm doing, what thoughts, what habits are coming up, how I'm reactive to things like this. Just observing. Really be attentive, and you see how much gets resolved just from this, and how much more clarity there is and how I'm getting caught up in things. Maybe I didn't solve it yet, but how I'm bound in things, then you also becomes more, you see how it's your mind that's binding you, your emotions that are binding you things, not the other things around. Very nice. So very nice exercise. Really just try. You know, of course, the goal, I can be aware as I'm doing everything, alert like this. Obviously, maybe we don't manage to do like that, but a good portion of the time, just trying to do that. Really, really nice exercise. So this kind of nididhyasana of alert living. Try that. And it's something that really can take you very far. If you want to supplement that, some of you probably do this thing as well, that helps with it very much. First thing in the morning, doing some meditation, some practice like this is extremely helpful. First thing in the morning, then the mind is clear. It's much easier to, you know, to approach the day, at least part of the day, being more aware present. The end of the day, at least for a few minutes, sitting quietly, even just a few minutes, quiet the mind, meditate quietly, and just can introspect a little bit, seeing the day, okay, this thing, yes, I did very well in this, that I got caught up because of this, okay, I can do a little better, I can learn from it, and just can introspect a little, just quiet the mind a little. Then kind of like conclusion for it, so you kind of learned from the day like this. That adds so much to this if you do it in that way. So that's one thing. The second thing is, we are near the end of the chapter. So, you know, after I come back within a few weeks, we will finish this chapter. So most of it we have gone over. So please take some time and review, you know, notes, things you learned, everything. And I'll also send an email with these points in this. And I like just if you send an email, just, you know, not very long, like what is the main things you learned from this chapter in this way. That way you also introspect in yourself, you see, and not just a technical thing that you copy what was there, this, but you just think after you read and you see what you study in this, in your words, just a few points, what you really feel, you know, you learned from this. And it'll help me too. I see, okay, oh, these points went through. These points that are important didn't. Maybe I didn't know how to, you know, explain well with that. And then also, there might be some things that we've gone through that are very unclear. So if there are any things that are really unclear, this wasn't clear, I have a question about this. So it gives both some feedback, and then also when we have some conclusions summarizing the chapter, we can, you know, address these things as well. So those are the two things. If you could, I very much appreciate it, and it'd be nice use of your time between, you know, to do your some of looking into this between the classes now. So that being said, any questions you may have before we do finish for today, and then feel free to chime in. Let me take myself off of being in the center here. There we go.
I don't know if I have a question.
Yes, please.
So, just the last verse, right, where we discussed if the mind is quiet because of a good meal or a good gift, we say that it doesn't last long. If the mind is quiet because of some technique, I also wrote, then it is also conditional. But then if we inquire the mind, then it's feeding into the awareness. But that part, I also find that to be a technique where we are trying to question ourselves back to the state of awareness. I find that to be a technique, and that also might be conditional. So what are your thoughts on that?
It's a good question. What happens is, when you're... Viveka maybe at first will seem like a technical thing. Yes, it's true. But when you really can observe that, you know, that I'm observer, mind is observed, you know you're not the mind. Quieting the mind doesn't make you know you're not the mind. But if you, and yes, some technique at first might be needed, yes. But afterwards, once you can see it, it helps you to see it. Because the Vedanta is helping you to see something. So the methodology is to help you to see. That methodology will be some technical thing, yes. But once you can see it, it's like for me to look out and see something. Like the other day, then family was here, and we're outside with the kids. They're playing with something in the dark, and then everybody else was inside. I saw the moon was coming up. It was so nice and orange just coming up. It was a call to everybody, come and see it, right? So what happens is, the saying, come, look this direction, near the tree, that's the technique, like Viveka, right? But once you, but it's, your eyes are for seeing, but you see, once you see, you see. You see the beautiful moon orange like this. So it's the Viveka is an instrument for you to see. Once you can see, you see it. And then it's not a technical thing. You just know you're the awareness. So that's why, yeah, some technique is there, yes. But when it's clear, then it's not a technique anymore. It's not technique, you know. It's just, it's direct knowledge that you have. Okay, so it can seem like, yes, it's another, but it's not a conditional thing. The other ones are conditional.
You know. Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions before we finish today? Very good. So everybody keep well. Good to see everybody. And, you know, good time now to, you know, take time, do some of the vichara, some of the questioning thoughts, you know, take that time for it. And then mananam, reflecting on. And then we'll discuss some more in 3 weeks. Okay? Keep well.
Okay.
Om Om.
Om. Have a safe trip.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good trip and say hi to Sahadev for me.
I will, absolutely, yes.
Good to see everyone.